So you've been in this scene for over 10 years, right?
Yeah. I started my first solo performance in international dance events. I was 16 years old. And then from 18 years old till now, I'm 27 now, I travel international almost every weekend.
Why you chose salsa out of all the other dances?
Well, I didn't choose salsa. I mean, not just salsa. I started with classical ballet. And before that, actually, before I born, I started with gymnastic. I mean, my mother's a gymnastic instructor and also my father's a gymnastic instructor.
Okay.
So when she was pregnant to me, she was doing gymnastic. And I started too early to gymnastic. And I've been 28 times national champion in gymnastic. And when I was in teenage times, my passion got stronger with dance, mostly contemporary dance and hip hop and break dance. So I joined some hip hop crews and break dance crews, do some street dance in my country. It wasn't really popular
Yeah.
those times, but we tried our best. And then when I was dancing on the street, a dance instructor saw my dance and invited to a dance school. And then I started to go to a dance school. And I met with salsa there.
So you incorporate actually a lot of different elements into your dancing. I mean, there's like acrobatics and
Comes from gymnastic, yeah.
And so that is just a way that you like to express yourself, right? Like you like to incorporate these different elements.
Well, yes, and salsa means a mixed sauce, so we can mix anything we want if we keep doing the main technique and the rules of the culture, and we can add anything else we want to put, we can add. So salsa gives a lot of free space to do anything we want to do. So for me, salsa is a dance of a revolution.
Yeah.
That's why I stick more in salsa, but also I'm still doing contemporary ballet, and I'm teaching also contemporary ballet and salsa and bachata.
And so when you plan, I think I saw a YouTube video of you speaking with a gentleman from San Francisco, I believe it was. And I think you shared during this video that you do a lot of freestyling. You select some
Yeah.
elements and then the rest of it is freestyle. Can you tell me more about how
For my
you do
show
that?
performance, you're asking?
Yeah, like when you perform
Oh,
it, I
yeah.
think you just do a lot of freestyling. Is that
Yeah,
correct?
absolutely. Well, I like to exchange my energy with the people who is watching. So in my choreographies, I made the starting parts and some of the acrobatic points that I wanna put. And mostly the ending parts, but sometimes ending can be freestyle too. So I put some elements in the choreography, and between those elements, I do everything improvisation on stage. But when I do the same show more than five, six times, this improvisation fits into a same choreography.
Okay.
But I like to give that free space into my shows because when I look at the people's eyes who is watching me, I'm also inspiring from the people who is watching. So I feel what they feel, and if they need something else, or if I feel like I want to do something else, I do it. So I like to give that free space so I can get a deeper connection with the people who is watching.
How did you arrive at that type of performance style?
Acting, I started like that.
You always done
I always done that. I never did a full choreography till the beginning, till the end. No, I never done that in my
that?
life.
Really?
Yeah, never. Like my first choreography in salsa, it was a salsa contemporary fusion. I was 16. I performed on Istanbul International Dance Festival. I prepared a whole show just in a week. And so it wasn't finished. So most of the parts was improvisation, and I really like it. My first performance in contemporary dance was full of improvisation from the beginning till the end. I loved the improvisation because I can feel deeper. You know, when you make the choreography, you know what to do, what to feel, even like you're pretending many things. But when you give a space that you can do improvisation, it's a high risk that you can do mistakes.
Yeah.
But mistakes has the power to find the best version of ourselves. That's what I believe. So also I like that mistakes and have to cover up that mistakes.
So have you messed up on stage before?
Yes, but only I know it.
So you didn't mess up very badly. It was just a small mistake.
Well, I fall badly and with a very aesthetic and acrobatic moves, I stand up and keep doing the dance, and people think that that fall was the part of the choreography, and this is not a fall, that was part of the crazy acrobatics. But only some people knew who know the gymnastic technique very well. Some people can understand, oh, maybe she fall, but most of the people do not realize it. So my mother and father, they are like, my parents are really good at gymnastics. So they saw my mistakes when I fall, but in the end, when I asked to the old professional dancers, like, hey, did you see my fall? People said, no, you did a crazy acrobatic there, but I was just falling there.
So you have a benefit of an acrobat and people not knowing if something happens.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That's good. That's good. I like that.
And actually, when I fall, I just enjoy, you know, it doesn't mean that you can mess up in anything. In life, on stage, in personal life, in relationship with friends, you can mess up in anything. It doesn't mean that you can make it up. Right. All you have to do is just stand up and find a solution. And same thing for stage. You can fall, but if you fall and leave yourself to the floor and think about, oh my God, what to do, then you are gonna really mess up. But if you just fall and stand up at the same time and covering up with more creativity, then you can enjoy with your mistakes. For everything, not just for dance.
Yeah, it's a good attitude. I like that. You never froze? So you've never had an instance where, for some reason, whether you messed up or not, mm-hmm. you just could not think of the next thing you're going to do? Or you don't think when you perform?
I don't need to think. I just feel.
So then... I'm very curious about that because conceptually I think I understand what you're saying, but as far as like, you never had the situation where you actually froze?
No. Why okay. I froze? I can do mistakes and enjoy with it and stand up and keep going.
Okay.
Dance is a flow. It's not, there's no stop in dance and there's no stop in life. Mm-hmm. Everything is flowing every second. So the falling is coming up to another moment.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I fall, I create something better.
Mm.
And sometimes when you forgot your choreography, like it's happened also, in the musicality part, it's a new choreography, I forgot it. I start to improvise, and then I like that improvisation in the end when I watch the video and I change my choreography and put the improvisation part as my choreography. So sometimes, you know, when you messed up, this is the best thing, just catch the best part of your mess. That's again, I'm saying, mistakes has the power to find the best version of yourself.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. I like it. I like it. I think for a new dancer, it's kind of difficult to understand. But I do think that this is a very cool approach. It's a very different approach. But obviously, you're doing it, so you're not just saying, like, you're actually living through
it. I'm living through
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
only in dance, I'm living through it in everything.
Yeah. It's like a life philosophy almost.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, nice. Very cool. What would make a great dance for you? I guess, like, what would it take for you to walk off the dance floor and feel like that was an amazing dance?
Okay, when I just free myself totally and have, like, feel also all the energy people comes from people and also open my energy honestly to the people, that's enough for me. I mean, this is not a perfect performance or, oh, I did an amazing job. No, people can think it was amazing, but as an artist, we always know our mistakes. We critique ourselves hardly. And for me, if I get that kind of energy on stage, even if I fall, even if I forget, even if I miss some part of the music, but still, if I get that energy of freedom and expression,
mm-hmm.
then this is perfect for me. So for me, my perfection has so many mistakes inside of it. The way of my perfection is just being 100% honest with myself and with the people.
So this is more of a subjective process for you. It's not like you have three or five factors that you can point to and say, okay, he did this well, or I felt that particular thing. It's all kind of like based on subjectively how you feel at that moment.
For me, yes, but like in a competition when I'm judging, what I'm thinking about, how the person, like musicality is important, timing is so important. But for me, the most important part when I watch a dancer as a judge is creativity. Because most of the times I'm watching different persons doing same movements, maybe 40 shows in one night, and I almost watch the same show. So I want to see something personal. For me, dance is a universal language of peace. And to give that peace and to have that peace, we have to find our inner peace. And for me, finding our inner peace means being honest with ourselves. And when you be honest with yourself, it is really hard thing. I mean, we can manipulate ourselves too. And most of the times we do it. So when we find all this balance, creativity starts. Otherwise, we are just copying the movements and trying to do better. But the same movements, and we still copy. When the creativity starts, for me, perfection, it starts. It's not about like rules, lines, looking beautiful, sexy, elegant. No, it's not about this. It's about creativity and expression. And everyone needs to feel heard, understood. And I think this is why we are dancing for. So if you want to be heard and understood, why we are pretending on stage? We have to be who we are. For that, we have to discover who we are. It's a long journey.
Yeah, it's very interesting. How, as far as like, it's, you seem to be very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, you have a very solid philosophy in the way that you look at things. Did you develop it through dancing, or how did it come about?
Well, the way I live always connected with my performance, my dance. So dance is my main language, not the words, because we can manipulate ourselves with our words, but your body language always says the truth. So it was, I started with that way. I didn't practice to develop this philosophy. It was what I think is in my body. It's all connected. It's in my moves.
I would like to take that master class and see how you would teach that. I know you're teaching a couple of workshops. Is that going to be in any of them?
Yeah, okay. I will be teaching turn techniques tomorrow and body movements with musicality on Saturday.
So you're incorporating some of the philosophy into the
classes? All of my classes, I teach that. Yeah, it's really important for me.
I'm looking forward to it. I might have to check out the class and see what this philosophy looks like in practice. Yeah, that's very interesting. So as far as tangible suggestion for a new lead, I've been dancing for less than 2 years. Mm-hmm. So for me, sometimes I do get intimidated. I'm not afraid to say it. Like, you know, sometimes you come to these events and you have very good dancers, and you maybe have a handful of moves, you know, and you just start getting into your head, right?
Yeah.
So what's some of the suggestions you would give to new leads like myself in order for them to just have a good dance experience?
Connect with your partner. Find a deeper connection with your partner. No matter how many moves you do, no matter you miss the music, you do mistakes. Actually, you enjoy more when you do mistakes, honestly. Because if you have the connection to each other with your partner, eye to eye, hand to hand, feel the balance between the leading and following. So man is not just leading and woman is not just following. It's about connection. It's about talking with your body language. When you get that kind of connection, you will feel amazing with your dance. So this is the first thing I want to tell to people. If you're starting to dance, forget about who is watching you. Forget about how good they are dancing around you. Just feel your partner and make a deeper connection and conversation with your body language. This is the reason of your dancing. We are socializing. Mm-hmm. We are not dancing to show, oh, how many good moves I'm doing. No, it's about it's about talking with our body language.
Mm-hmm.
So when your mindset is there, you don't need to worry about your moves. And I want to share my best experience. It happened in New York Salsa Congress years ago. With a breakdance team, I was in the lobby of the hotel, in the festival hotel, and one old guy around like 80 years old came to me with a stick. He was walking with a stick and asked, "Hey, are you a dancer?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you know where is the old school party?" I said, "I don't know. Please ask the reception." And he goes to the reception and come back and said, "Will you be in the party tonight?" I said, "Yes." And then he said, "Okay, I'm going to dance with you." And then my friends start laughing at him like, "Oh my God, how is going to dance with a stick?" And in the party, a very advanced level dancer asked me to dance. I had one of my worst dance in my life because I stopped him like a few times to tell him, "Look at me and please smile," you know, because he was watching the other people to charm them. So I was like, "Oh my God, all these crazy moves, like why we are doing that much difficult combination in social dance and there is no connection with my partner." I stopped the dance and then I learned he is a very popular Broadway dancer. I stopped the dance in the middle of the song and I just left him. I feel so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, another famous name asked me to dance, and then everyone were watching us and the cameras were recording us, all the light was on us. And then that guy, the Broadway guy, came to me and, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't know that you are Ezgi Zaman." And I told him, "I am nobody. Like, I'm equal with every other woman in here and you have to respect and dance same." And then he asked me to dance again. I told him, "No. Ask to the most beginner person and learn to behave good." And then he went. And after him, that guy with a stick, that old guy, came to me. After one song, I asked him to dance again. Still, it is the best dance of my life, that old guy. This is the best dance of my life because we were doing some basic stuff, but we were enjoying, just having fun, just like with this old guy, I had an amazing connection because he cares about the woman. He knows the culture. This is the culture. Now, everything is getting so superficial with technology and this capitalist system pushing us into it. And dance is also following the superficial life that we are trying to show ourselves. We are trying to be enough for other people, being seen, being, you know, more popular. Like, this is important. But the important thing is just being nobody, just express yourself and feel your partner. Then you will have the real peace and enjoy.
What the 85-year-old guy did exactly to connect?
Look into my eyes, find the correct energy. Like, dance is about, everything is about energy. And the feeling, that energy, that he has no fear of being not seen, or he has not different expectations. He just want to enjoy and have fun with dance, like connection.
Mm-hmm.
It's a feeling, and that feeling made me really enjoy. So sometimes I really get boring when I'm doing so advanced movements on stage. You don't have to do it because you can. You have to do it when music asks to you and when your connection with your partner is good enough for it. I mean, we shouldn't do difficult moves to show ourselves. We can just stay in basics, in social dance, and keep socialized. So I think the new generation is forgetting what is basic because there are so many competitions. So we are mixing up what is a competition dance, what is a social dance. There is a big difference between it.
Right.
For social dance, we just have to socialize.
Yeah.
It is not a dance marathon that you're not running for it. We have to just enjoy.
You are not the first person who said that.
I know. Like, most of the international artists think the same way because we are suffering from it.
Yeah. So good. I can just do basic with you the whole time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's okay.
That's great. Perfect. So
we are doing basics tonight. Yeah. There's a live concert.
Perfect.
Okay, that's good.
Perfect. It's basic. Maybe one right turn or something. Maybe one. That's awesome. What has been the hardest part of your dancing journey so far? Like something that you had to overcome and that was really a big challenge for you?
Oh, understanding my womanity, my femininity. Mm. So when I was a teenager, when I did my first solo, I was 16 and then performed till 21. Between 16 to 21, I was dancing more like elegant, like a ballerina, but I didn't have that sexy, hot Latin lady energy. And when I became 21, but my technique was the same and I was expressing myself. And people like it, so I started to travel the world. But when I was 21, one international dancer that I was fan of him, and still he's amazing, he told me, Eski, your style has changed. I was like, what changed? Now you are a really hot Latin. That's amazing. And I was like, no, stop there. I'm not getting a better dancer. I was a teenager and I'm becoming a woman because I'm 21 now. That's what I told him. I'm sure he didn't understand anything about what I said. And then from 21 to 24, my dance style became more sexy because I was understanding my female energy naturally. Like, it's what we have to do. And after 24, I don't need to express my female energy anymore because, you know, I know when to express, I know how to express, but I'm human first. So after 24, more human style for me started. So depends of the choreography, depends of the feeling I have. I can get super feminine or masculine or energetic or powerful or weak or sensitive, or I can cry with my dance, or I can make people cry with my dance. It's not just about having fun or looking beautiful and sexy. So people have millions of different feelings. And we have to be allowed to express it with our body language. So when it's a woman in salsa scene, in Latin dance scene, it doesn't mean that you have to be sexy, feminine, pretty, cute, and plus do not express your true opinions too much and mm-hmm. don't be too powerful. It can bother other people. So all these rules that we are stuck in was my biggest challenge. I mean, I wasn't part of this challenge, but people were criticizing me with that. And then I just ignored it and found myself. So that was the biggest challenge, understanding my femininity.
Now you're doing dancing full time, is that correct? That's your main career?
Yes.
You don't have another profession or like?
No. Dance is my life.
Okay. What it's like to be a full-time professional dancer? Like, what's some of the good things? What's some of the things that maybe you don't like as much?
Well, the good things is traveling the world. It was my dream, my childhood dream, and now I'm making it happen. Mm-hmm. And seeing different cultures, different people, it teaches me a lot of things. So this is the best part. The bad things is, first of all, jet lag.
Yeah, you're feeling it right now.
Like,
right?
In my country right now, it's like a midnight. Everyone is sleeping, and here we will go to a salsa party after 5 hours, maybe. So this jet lag is killing me, and like health issues because of long travels, and the food is changed all the time. So as a dancer, we have to take care of our body. And I'm a vegetarian, so I cannot eat everything and everywhere. Also, that pushing a little bit hot. This is the worst things. And missing my family when I have a long travels, because family is really important. Also, my cat, I'm missing her. So these are the bad things.
With the dietary things, how do you solve that?
I carry some nuts, some stuff with me. And when I come to the other countries, I'm going to organic markets mm-hmm. to buy some healthy things. And also I write every organizer about my diet issue, so they make a good food for me. So they prepare before I come there. This is how I'm dealing with it.
Yeah, that's a lot, right?
Yeah.
And I know, I can't even imagine actually travel as much and seeing so many places and so many cities. Do you have you come across a place that just blown you away that you felt like you didn't expect it, but you were surprised how amazing the place was?
I think I'm not surprising that much anymore, but well, I expect everything. Yeah. Everywhere I go, I expect everything. This is my mindset, so I don't feel really blow up. For me, in Latin America, Medellin festival that I have been, and this year I will go again. In that festival, I talk with some shamans from Amazon forests. So I went 1 month early to Medellin, and I stayed 1 month with these shamans to do meditation, special diets, and some shamanic rituals that I have joined and connected with nature. So I was like living in the jungle for a long time, and that blew my mind. Like, it was an amazing experience.
Did you try ayahuasca?
Oh, many times, yeah. Many times. And Cambo, it's still here. There's a, it's a frog poison to clean our body. Like, if you have any disease, sickness, it's clean your body. I mean, frog poison, but the first few days you feel like a frog. But after that, you feel like really better with your immunity system. It's really good. And ayahuasca ceremonies was amazing too, but being on the nature and connecting with that earth all the time, no light in the nights, no phone, no technology, just nature and you, it was just amazing. Mm. And I'm doing that kind of experience actually every year, like 4 or 5 times. And when I turn back to my country, I will go to camping. I'm doing it by myself, going climbing the mountains and finding some places that no human being can find me and stay there for a week, sometimes for a few weeks or months. And I'm doing that kind of campings by myself.
You're not afraid? Like, you're not afraid of like predators either? Not just people, I'm talking like animals actually embarging on you.
Well,
like,
I'm afraid of just people.
You're afraid of people more than animals?
I mean, do you know any thing more dangerous than human?
Well, that's debatable. But I know that when you're in the wild, you, especially in an unfamiliar place, there's
okay,
a lot of danger.
There is
as well,
one thing. Know? If you open your heart just with love. I have stayed with a group of wolves. Group of wolves.
How did you stay with
them? Well, that happened naturally. They came in the morning to drink a water from the waterfall, and I was camping in front of the waterfall. And I just think that, oh, dogs came, and I go out in the middle of the night, and I saw, oh, these are not dogs.
you have a video of that?
No, because no phone works, no charging. Like, I was in the top of the mountain. So, like, they came a few more days after that day, every morning to drink water. And then I changed my place because it got too cold, so I couldn't stand longer. It was winter time, so the wolves were also hungry. And
see, I think if I was there,
if you were there and if you're scared,
they would attack.
Yes. If they feel fear, they attack.
Or if they feel hungry.
Not hungry. If they feel fear, they attack. Even if they are hungry, if you know what to do, if you just give love and make sure that you're not the enemy, most of the animals do not attack human. So it's so rare that animals attacked human for no reason. So if human attacked human for no reason all the time, but animals never attack human for no reason. So this is what I have been learned. So there is nothing to scare. If you know what kind of plants that you can eat, what kind of plants that you have to be careful and stay away, what kind of, like, how you can connect with the animals. Not generally animals, like every type of animal has different kind of body language. Mm-hmm. So if you know all of this stuff that I'm studying in my whole life, nature is my lifestyle as much as dance. So then it's easy to connect and share some love with them.
Very interesting. That's very interesting. You do more than one course, right? I know you do spin course.
Yeah.
Do you do, what other courses do you do?
Body movements and musicality body movements on Saturday. I'm going to do today.
But you offer, I mean, like online you offer courses,
oh,
right?
Online course. Online course. Every training program I offer different things. Mm-hmm. My next online training program is the most special online training program that I am making till this time. I'm super excited for it. It's about feminine energy.
Okay.
This one only for women. It's a 31 days training program and 5 weeks. Every weekend I will work on different topics. Weekends I'm gonna teach dance, tones, flexibility, body movements, lady styling, and musicality, like everything you need for dance, you will get in the weekends, live classes. But also in 31 days, every single day from the day I start a training program, I will be sharing different videos, educational videos, different topics about feminine energy, about woman health, the traumas, how to heal from our traumas, how to discover our true potential, and like skincare, sexual problems, like everything about woman needs, it will be in this training program. And I'm super excited for it because I studied that in Colombia about shamanic rituals. I didn't just go for ayahuasca and something. I made a deeper search about women health and how they, also Mayan people in Mexico that I went before, how they take care of women health with natural medicine. And also, I'm from Mesopotamia in Turkey. So in Mesopotamia, we have a different kind of rituals and ways of healing process about women and female energy. So all this knowledge that I am gonna mix in this training program, and I'm really excited for it. It's not only for dancers. It's for all level for dancers, but it's for every woman. Like it can be useful for every woman in the world.
Mm-hmm.
From teenage till maybe 80, 90 years old woman even can join this training program. Also daily exercises for our body to relax our muscles for muscle pains. Most of the muscle pains and injuries has a psychological background and traumatic background. So I will get deeper into to help my students that they can find their own trauma. And when they heal them, their physical problems also will get better. So it will be a very deeper training program, which has a lot of philosophy.
How do you come up with these ideas for training programs? Is it something that you sit down and you, you know, make plans for, that, or
no,
does it just pop into your head randomly?
Well, as much as I'm learning things, I have to share this information to the people. So I have a big library in my home, and my library also my dance studio that I do my personal dance, reading, studying, everything there. That personal space, staying alone there, not alone with my cats, is inspiring me a lot. And when I travel, meet with different cultures, I meet with a lot of different women, has different traumas, different physical problems. And when we, like when I think about all together, woman problem and woman health issues are same in all over the world. And that's just come to my mind. Maybe in the camping times. Oh, by the way, I create most of my choreographies in the jungle or the top of the mountains.
Is there a reason for it?
No, just, well, of course there's a reason. When you have nothing to do, like you don't have phone, you don't have technology, there is nothing distracting you, your mind getting more creative.
Okay.
So I recommend to the artist people, be lazy. No, don't work hard. Working hard is not going to get inspired. Be lazy. Give enough time to your mind to relax and not thinking anything. When you think nothing, creativity comes. Because, you know, when you focus on something, one part of our mind works. But when we not thinking about anything, all of our minds, electrics, start to work. So then creativity starts. Hmm. This is how people can create something unique. I mean, some people doing it with a lot of hard work, but my way is giving enough space and time to myself to do nothing and then start to create something. And mostly when I'm climbing the mountain, you know, or hiking on the forest or camping in the middle of the jungle, I have a lot of time just to do meditation and relax. And nobody cannot contact me. My phone is not working. So all the creativity comes. And new choreographies is just coming up. And this weekend, I'm going to do one of my choreography. Well, actually, this weekend, I have two shows, and both show created in the jungle.
Wow,
yeah.
That's amazing.
And I'm doing it not physically, like created it in my mind first. And then I open the music, and my body directly does it.
And your name means melody time?
Yes. Ezgi Zaman means, Ezgi means melody in Turkish. And Zaman means time.
Do you think that that has some sort of, maybe it's like meant to be, there's some sort of like a spiritual connection that...
Maybe all names has different connections and meanings.
Yeah.
Well, my mother put my name Ezgi because she likes music. So she think about melody and she think that I can do something about music. And then I became a dancer.
You're such an interesting person. So many things. Because you're not just a dancer. You do so many different things. You know, and you do the nature-related things. You do philosophy-related things.
Well, I do other things more than dance, actually. Dance is my language that I speak with my body. Mm-hmm. And it's my job that I make money from it. But everything else inspiring my dance. Hmm. So my creativity comes out with dance because I'm doing other stuff.
Such an interesting approach. Yeah, it's like you have this holistic thing that just fits in one into another, right? I know you talked about connection, and I know we're probably getting tight on time. So last thing, I know you talked about connection and how important that is between dancers. Is there any technical things that you notice among dancers, especially maybe, you know, beginner to intermediate level?
Give me your hands. Okay. Pull a little bit. And try to find balance with your pull. It's too much. Too much. Just find balance. Keep. Less pull. Yes. Now we are in balance. Now we can move together.
Okay.
This is the first tip I can give to the people. Don't pull too much.
Okay.
Don't push too much. Just find the balance between. Trust each other and walk together. Close your eyes.
Okay.
This is the first practice that I can give.
Okay, cool. So that's a good advice.
Yeah.
So that's like literally work on that.
Well, learn to trust your partner. Close your eyes or you can put bands on your eyes and walk. Just with connection. Mm-hmm. Just put your hand, give me your hand. Just find that connection. Find that connection. Mm-hmm. Press. And I'm pressing the same, equal power. Mm-hmm. Don't too much. Equal power. Find the equal power. Now we are in balance. Now the connection will start. Mm-hmm. So this is how we can start the connection. The deeper connection starts with that.
Okay. So you would say that becomes, obviously, it from what I understand, like that's more important than anything else. But for somebody who is having a hard time grasping that, is there technically anything else that you would highlight that would be important? Or you think everything just stems from the connection?
Everything starts with connection. And then take more classes from different artists. Mm-hmm. Not take a class only from the same instructor, take classes from different instructors, learn different mentalities. I mean, sometimes the instructor says totally opposite things, but you are the one have to choose which is fits you better, or you will have to choose between two opposite things, you know? So you will find your way, but take different classes from different instructors. And I have to say, I don't take any classes in my life. I just learn in social.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I have joined few classes. I was 14 and 15 years old. I have joined few classes, but I really get boring because my first instructor told me in the class, ladies, let the man lead you first time in your life. And I was doing breakdance, and I was just learning about feminism these years. So I said, no, I'm a feminist. I just went out to the class. I didn't take any other salsa class, actually. This is a funny story. I was 14, by the way. So I didn't take any class, but I watch classes and I did social dance. This is how I learn. And then bring all the philosophy and the classes and the other opinions from other dancers, get together and find in one place. And also, I recommend everybody who is dancing salsa, read the history of Cuba. I'm not talking about dance and music history. I'm talking about history of Cuba. Like everything, the political, social people, like the people's life, history about Cuba, how Cuba became to that position. Because when you understand the politics of Cuba from the colonism time, before the colonism time, then colonism time, and then the socialism time, and then the embargoes made to Cuba that's in a really difficult situation. So read all the things to understand how dance came to that position. Because of the colonism, Latin culture meet with African culture. Because of the colonism, they meet with flamenco too, because Spanish came to Cuba. Mm-hmm. So because of the colonism, also they meet with Western music. So all like classical music in salsa, you can see classical music, you can see African music, you can see the main Latin American music, everything mixed in salsa. So first, please read about history of Cuba. This is the first thing I recommend everybody. And there are so many good documentaries about the roots of salsa, the rhythm of the roots. This is the name of the documentary. I recommend everybody to watch this documentary. It's the three parts of this documentary on YouTube, The Roots of the Rhythm in Cuba. So what you are doing, please don't do it just as a movement. Understand the reason of the movements and how this music and dance came to today's dance style. I think this is so important. This is more important than how many beautiful combination you do and how many good pulse you do and dance fast and energetic. No, these are superficial things. You're going to be aging and this, all these things are going to be loose. It's not going to stay there. But what is stay there is what you learn about history, because history means future. This is my recommendation, everybody, to learn about history of Cuba.
It's the meaning behind the dance.
Yeah, absolutely. Like everybody doing Afro movements in Salsa Romantica, you know, the movement has reason. And like if you can put some contemporary style or some zouk turns into salsa, zouk come from Brazil, it's not from Cuba, but we are putting it inside of it. So how it come to there? How jazz rhythm came to African music, you know? So all these things are really important. I recommend to read and watch the documentaries is really important. That's inspired me a lot.
I'm looking forward to doing some of that. Maybe I can get with you and you can share some of the resources as well.
Yeah, of course.
It'll be great. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense and I agree. And again, you're not the first person who said that, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Like,
no, but I love
that. It's important.
But I love the way that you perceive it in the way that you explain it, because there's so much more to it than just dance, right?
Absolutely. I mean, your hobby don't need to be your profession. I mean, you don't have to be perfect in dance. You can be an engineer and just enjoy with salsa, you know? You don't have to be perfect in anything. Just stop this pressure to yourself. You don't have to be better than anybody. You have to just be the best version of yourself, whatever you do. Mm-hmm. This is the main point.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Well, anything else you would like to add in closing? I can talk to you all day. but I know you have other responsibilities.
Yeah, I have one more interview today.
Yes. So I want to be respectful of your time. Is there anything else in closing that you would like to add?
Well, I want to say, please dance to find your inner peace, because dance is the universal language of peace. And discovering yourself is the most important thing, I believe, discovering your true potential. And dance, if you make dance as your language, dance can be very helpful for you to discover your true potential. So use dance not as a goal, just use dance as a road to experience.
Well said. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you.